I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Carol Evans joins me now. She's a master watercolorist who's just published her third collection, The Shores We Call Home, The Art of Carol Evans. I think I saw it on a bestseller list the other day. It has a foreword by Arthur Black. It's a gorgeous book of her paintings, which depict British Columbia's coastal landscape. I have a limited sense of art and thought for a second after glancing at the book that it was a book of photographs. Carol Evans is an internationally acclaimed artist who's exhibited worldwide. Her previous books were West Coast Homeland of Men and
Mist,
and Release the Light. Her website is at carolevans.com. She lives on Salt Spring Island, where she joins me from now. The Shores We Call Home is from Harbor Publishing. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Carol Evans. Good morning, Ms. Evans.
Good morning.
As I said, I have a limited knowledge of art. So when I saw the book and I thought it was photographs, is that a compliment or is that an insult?
Oh, it's a compliment.
Is it? Yeah.
I try and paint things that make you feel like you're there. And if it feels like, you know, it's that, it looks like you could be there or you could put your toe in the water, then that's great.
And then what also astonished me was that there are places in this province that have, I guess, is it clear water? Yeah, I mean, I don't travel much, so that's why that astonished me.
That have clear water?
Yeah.
Oh, there are places on this coast that the water is so clear that the one place I'm thinking of is Sointula. We dropped the anchor in 60 feet of water and watched it go almost all the way down.
Wow.
It was so crystal clear.
Yeah. You dedicate the book to your father, Sam Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Was he artistic at all?
He was. He kind of was more interested in architecture, but he loved to sketch, and he really loved the images of the coast. I remember he did a really good sketch of Vancouver. We lived in West Point Grey at the time when I was a little girl, and he did a really good sketch. I've kept it.
And did you learn art from him, I guess, or how did that happen for you?
You know, really, it was my mom.
Yeah.
She was a teacher, and while we were growing up, she used to bring home different kinds of medium, like pastels or oil paint, and she'd take art courses, and then she'd come home and she'd be so interested in it herself, she'd get us kids interested and always have lots of materials around, so we all sort of kind of got into painting and drawing together in a way.
And the importance of having art in one's life at an early age.
Mm.
I mean, that's critical, isn't it?
It is. It, in a way, it helps you look at things through a different lens. You know, you are maybe more observant, or it makes you look at the world through more of a visual perspective, maybe.
Yeah.
Now I'm glad I had it anyway.
Yeah. You use watercolors.
Yes.
How does an artist get to that? I mean, do you fool around with oils or pastels to begin with?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you sort of graduate from crayons to pencil crayons to pastels. And when I had one teacher, a Japanese man, who got us playing around with water and India ink and watercolor, and he sort of said, isn't this neat when you'd get your paper all wet and then watch it just fan out, the paint just fan out into the water? And he really piqued my interest in the fact that the water does some of the work, it creates some of the look. And then once I tried to go back to other kinds of painting with oil or acrylic, your hand does all the work, and it's so exciting to have a medium where the water does make some of the look of the painting. It has just feels more organic, and I tried to go to different mediums, but once I got interested in watercolor, I just couldn't change back.
So, can you paint with anything else?
I could.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't hold interest for me.
Right. Yeah. Do you paint every day?
Every day that I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't suffer from that thing like artist block or anything. I love it so much. I couldn't really even call it work. I'm just so lucky that I can make a living at it.
And you and your husband, you live on the water?
No, no. We live, we have a glimpse, a sea glimpse. I think that's what the real estate thing said.
Yeah.
But we live kind of in a, you know, a bit of bush of trees, and we can peek out and see the water a little bit.
Yeah. How often do you spend on the water, though?
Okay. In the summer, we're often gone for months at a time. We like to arrange it if we can leave in June and come back in the beginning of September, because we're sailors, and it's not a real fast type of transportation, and which is good. You get to sort of poke along, but to get anywhere, any distance, it takes quite a bit of time.
And where do you guys go?
Well, we head north, and the furthest north we've gotten is to a village called Clemtu. So up past Bella Coola, we've gone into there, and Bella Bella, and in and around there's little wonderful coves and villages that we've gone to up and around there.
And the coastline of the province, it must astonish you still.
You could travel for an entire lifetime and never even begin to see it all. But there are beautiful places that people pass on, like little gems of information. You should try Miles Inlet, or you should check out this, or check out this waterfall. So there's little special places that people share that are really fun to go and check out. It's a beautiful coast that's right there for all of us. It's so close.
Yeah. Now, in the book, there's a painting of Sightwish Rock.
Yes.
At Stanley Park.
Yeah.
And you see it from the west, I guess, right? Is that how you did it?
From the Lionsgate Bridge side.
Oh, was it from the Lionsgate Bridge side?
And, okay. And looking towards West Point Grey, yeah. And UBC out at the end there.
Yeah. So how do you do that? Do you go there on the seawall, or are you on a boat, or what?
Well, we took the dinghy. We were actually at the dock at the rowing club, and we just took our dinghy, our inflatable dinghy. It's quite small, so it felt like a really long trip out around under Lionsgate Bridge, and then we were planning to stay and wait till the light, you know, got just right, but it was quite rough, actually, and the light just so happened to be very good at the moment, and so my husband, Bryn, kind of kept the dinghy from getting too swamped in the water, and I took a lot of photographs. There was no time for sketching, so the photographs were like quick sketches for me. It was fairly exciting, though.
Yeah, and so all these places that are depicted in the book,
yes.
You've been there, right, at one point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there a room in which you paint at home?
Well, actually, I have my own little studio. It's separate from the house. It's just like a little cabin.
And it's on the property, I guess, right?
It's on the property. Yeah. I just have to walk there. But I find I need to not be interrupted, so I don't have a telephone. I don't have anything there. It's just a quiet place that I can go and really, really concentrate and leave everything messy. I don't have to clean it up. So once I start a painting, if it takes me a month, then it just I don't have to clean anything up. I can just let it go.
And you work on one thing at a time, do you? Or?
Yes, yeah. I'm just that way. A lot of artists find it beneficial to have a few paintings going at the same time, and they might learn something from one painting, and then that informs another painting. For me, I can only concentrate on one, because it's like a relationship almost. You get so excited about it, and then you work through to the end. I find it's impossible to even consider doing a second one.
Yeah. You write about visiting Haida Gwaii.
Yes.
In the book.
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, it's wonderful. I when I was young, 18, I spent about half a year there working in waitressing in a cafe there, and got to really appreciate the culture and the intermingling of cultures there. Apart from the majestic landscape, the cultures mixing and working together was really stuck with me. I actually almost thought I'd like to move there, and may have if my life hadn't been different. But to go, we went in 2001, and I was surprised after that many, like well, 15 years, it was very, it had the very same spirit. It hadn't changed like so much of our province has really changed and altered. There was such this beautiful spirit there in the community, spirit of working together. I really love that spirit.
And you've been an artist now for, in your bio it says, over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
You've seen the changes of the coastline. Has it been that dramatic?
Well, in some places it is. It is with the clear cuts.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. And some communities have really built up places that were wild, have now become covered with houses. Like, you know, even my last years living with my family in Tawasin, it, you know, that's sort of like the southernmost part of our coast, and seeing the farmers' fields now being built up with houses. There's a change that, you know, I now know what it's like to go, oh, I'm feeling, you know, older because I'm seeing these changes. And I don't know, I guess you can't stop changes, but maybe we can make them more gracefully and more sustainably, especially with the logging and, you know, different things that we're doing along the coast.
Is there a place you and your husband love going to? Like, if you couldn't live on Salt Spring, where would you want to go?
That's a really interesting question. We have quite enjoyed going to the other smaller islands further north, like Hornby. It's a really, really nice island and nice community. And also Cortez. When we were there, we thought, oh, this would be an interesting place to live. And there's some little bays, some wilder places that we love to go and anchor and just stay there in Desolation Sound. And further north, there's a marine park called Oliver Cove that we've really enjoyed just dropping the anchor and staying. Princess Louisa Inlet. There's so many. It's hard to pick one.
Yeah. Here's a silly question.
Yeah.
If you had to paint your house, say, like paint a wall, would you do that yourself or would you get someone else to do that?
Paint a wall, like, with, like, actual, like, house paint?
Yeah.
Ah!
I'm just wondering that, because, you mean, you're a painter by trade. I mean, would you...
Yeah.
Would you do that, I mean, yourself, or would you...
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I take a certain little pride in having a steady hand.
Yeah.
So, well, like, my first way of making a living was painting names on fish boats. So, and they were in the water. They weren't up... still, so I was
yeah.
I was on the dock and the boats were moving, and I was able to, I just sort of developed like a real steady hand. So for me, painting in the house, if you know, if I had the time, but to do the paint around the trim and everything, I would, that would be kind of that's a good challenge. Our house could use it too.
Yeah, and I suppose patience as well is something that you have to have.
I'm not patient with a lot of things in my life, but with painting, I surprise even myself how long I will sit and work a challenging thing through. Yeah, it takes quite a bit of patience.
Now, the paintings in the book, are these, they're all in galleries, are they, or have people bought them, some of them already?
Most of them, if not all of them, have been already purchased, yeah.
Yeah, and so do you keep copies of them, do you? I mean, how does that work? I mean, you.
Well, we have a professional photographer who I've worked with for many years, who's wonderful. That he'll take a transparency, which is kind of like a large slide, and he's been doing those for many years. Now we're going into the scans, digital scans. So I always have a record, a proper, really good quality, high quality record of every painting. The first 4 years I was painting, I didn't have even a camera of my own. So there's 4 years of paintings that have been painted and sold and out there, and I don't have any photographic record of them at all.
And so a digital scan, how would that work? They put that on a scanner, face down? Or?
No, it goes on... It, well, there's Sometimes that is one way that, like, especially if we're doing a print,
yeah.
If a painting is small enough, it will go on a scanning drum. I don't know my technology too well. But the photographer that we work with, he puts it on the wall, and he has a digital camera.
Yeah.
Just the way he used to do it for the transparencies.
And what's the art market like now? I mean, has it been hurt by the recession?
It seems to be affected by any bad news. So in the past, you know, since 9/11, it's gone up and down with people's worries about what's going on, because it's not a necessary thing. But it was affected at first by the recession, but it seems to have come back. People seem to be more optimistic or positive right now.
And investing in art, is that something that you see a lot of?
I don't know. It used to be that way in the late 80s and early and into the 90s. But I don't hear it as much.
Yeah. Do you have to deal with sort of the business side of things, or?
Thankfully, no. Yeah. Not too much. A little bit. My husband works. He has Day Spring Studio, so he publishes and distributes limited edition prints. Plus, he's the one in communication with all our the galleries that I might be selling originals through. So we consult about each step of the way. So I'm part of it, but he's really the one that's hands on with it, which I am so grateful, because for the first 8 years. Or 8 or 10 years of my painting career, I was on my own and having to do those things too, and it takes quite a bit of time away from the creative process.
And when you look back at your career in art, and you look at the paintings in this book, say, and some of your earlier work, do you notice a change yourself?
Somewhat. I actually think, you know, after this amount of time, I would have thought I would change more. But I don't know. I guess I found a way of expressing what I want to express, and it seems to... there's a personality that comes through them all, I guess the best way to put it, that it's just there. It's like your handwriting. It's hard to change it, maybe.
Yeah, and do you find that you're better, perhaps?
I have more confidence. I take on more difficult things to paint, and I guess I do feel like I'm improving. Yeah, I do. I think it's you're constantly developing. You never feel like that's it, I've got it. I mean, I don't anyway. After 30 years, maybe I will after more years.
Yeah, and it must be fun that this book is selling well.
It is wonderful. It's delightful. It's kind of meaningful to me, and I really am happy that it means something to other people too. I feel like we all have a lot in common. Just the fact that we live close to that ocean, even in the city. You know, I was born and raised in the city, but you still have this thing in the back of your mind, knowing you can go to the beach. You live near that water. I think we all have. That's a thread that ties us together. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Carol, it's been a pleasure to talk to you today, and I enjoyed the book a great deal. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. The book, website is carolevans.com. The book is called The Shores We Call Home, The Art of Carol Evans. It's published by Harbor on Salt Spring Island. Carol Evans on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.